Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi there. Welcome to The Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I'm here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat, resist weight, and get on with your life, because that is my mission. That is what I want for you. I want you to wake up and think about your day, not your diet. If you want to call in and talk with me today, the number is 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. I would love to hear what is on your mind, what is eating at you, because the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, any kind of emotional eating, the real problem is not food. The real problem is what is eating at you. And so I want to start with a question from one of the people in my Food for Thought community on Facebook. If you're not a member, head on over, do a search for Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community and join us. And you can ask questions or on the show. This is from Nicole. She says, if you're allowed to have dessert so you don't feel that sense of deprivation, the deprivation that leads to a binge, how can you determine, yes, I will take a caller in just a second. How can you determine when it's okay to have dessert and when you're using it to comfort or self-soothe? I'm going to get back to this question from Nicole after the caller. So welcome, caller. Hello? I don't hear. Hello? Hi, caller. Hi, Carly Gash. Carly Gash?
Good. Yes.
Okay, good. I saw different phone numbers, and I recognized yours after a different one that left. But welcome to the show, Carly Gash. What's going on?
Good morning. Good morning, Dr. Nina. A lot going on. It's just this past several days, I cannot calm down, so I kind of overeat every day. Binge over it, and I munch, and I notice that I have a lot of anxiety, but in general, I always have an ongoing anxiety. I would say, like, I live above that, like, suppressing that and somehow functioning. So, but I noticed that recently, I have, like, a thought or something, like, irritates me, I just go and eat right away, and I'm at work now with kids who are, like, really not organized, and especially today, they kind of have a three-ish day. So very hard to organize them or keep any consistency.
Gosh, cake and anxiety. If you weren't focused on eating as a way of relieving your anxiety, sometimes we eat to just calm our bodies down. If you weren't focused on that, what thoughts would be going through your mind? Let's just wipe out all those food thoughts and see what's really going on there.
I just don't like my job, honestly. I think I'm...
Carly Gash, can you speak up? I'm not hearing you very clearly.
Yes. I just don't like my job.
Okay. You don't like your job.
I think I'm wasting time. I think I'm capable of doing much more than I did in the past. But, like, I don't believe in myself so much right now that it really frustrates me. And I feel, like, left behind. I feel like while I was working on my emotional being, I feel like I'm left behind. And organization is also challenging for me. And honestly, this weight I put on during pandemic
just frustrates me so much
every day.
Stop. Okay. Because guess what? This is a zone where you don't get to turn on yourself and talk about the weight you gained, because I want to point out what you just did. You just went from really having the courage to say what is what the true problem is, that the food is a solution to. The problem is you don't like your job, you feel left behind, and you feel, it sounds like, you know, you're capable of doing more than what you're doing. And then you went to weight. So that is a distraction. I know it's a real thing. I know it bothers you and all of that. But when you go to food, when you go to weight, when you go to what you are eating and focusing on that, or what you weigh and focusing on that, you are distracting yourself from what is weighing on you, what is eating at you. And that is, and again, very poignantly, Carly Gash, that you don't like your job and you feel left behind. So this is the problem. Cakes are the solution to the problem, mm-hmm. not the problem. I don't like my job. I feel left behind. I'm too educated to do this job. Those are the things that you said. Now, how do you work mm-hmm. towards dealing with that? What is one thing that you can do? I don't like my job and I feel left behind, by the way, are two separate things. You don't like your mm-hmm. job. There is something you can do to change it. I feel left behind is something else.
That's the hardest part. I think that's why I overeat, because I don't know what I want to do. Anything I take seems either overwhelming or I need a lot to study, and I'm already like past above 30, almost 40. I honestly like art, music, and I really enjoy studying it, like doing it. I used to study in musical school, but then I had very bad experiences there as a kid.
Carly Gash,
I
want to share something with you, because the first thing you said was you're too old to be in school. When I was in graduate school the first time, because first I got my master's and then I got my doctorate, but when I was getting my master's, there were 5 women in my program who were 50 years old, and they were 50 years old, and they'd all had different sort of past lives. One had been a banker, one had been a nurse, a couple had been stay-at-home moms. They all had different one. Another one was some kind of business. And at 50, they decided to change their lives.
Yeah, I always forget that I'm in America, because in my country, there is like, at 50, you're done. If you're a woman, you're 50, you're done. You can officially go lay into the casket and just
tell that to our soon to be vice president, who just became a lot of firsts. So, Carly, guys, you want to challenge the idea that you're kind of stuck. You are in America. You are not in Kazakhstan. You can take step. Kyleen is writing on Instagram. She says, I got my bachelor's at age 40. So there. Thank you, Kyleen. It is never too late to do something new. And by the way, I was in grad school 21 years ago. And those people have had a new career, those women, for 20 years. And now in this profession, especially they're 70. And guess what? When you're a therapist and you're 70, people just think you're really wise. There's like, there's no retiring. You can do it as long as you want. So what you want to do is focus on the problem.
That's the thing. I don't want to be a therapist. I want to be a music business where everything is like, I believe it's either young people starting out there like at 10 or 15, or if you're older, you're supposed to be like experienced so you can create music or like do stuff or manage those young kids. So I don't know. Those are some ineffective ideas.
Those
are ideas.
I'm
pretty much 100% sure I can make it like 100, more than 100. Because I have it, I know it.
You also are not starting out. You told me, you've talked many times about how you were at a special music school when you were a kid in Kazakhstan. So the point is that cakes and food that you talk about binging on, that's not the problem. This is the problem. problem is feeling unsatisfied and unfulfilled in your life and in your job. And by the way, look at the words that we use for feeling unsatisfied, unfulfilled. That's also when we talk about food. Oh, that was a really satisfying meal, or that wasn't very fulfilling, you know, high tea that I had. So focus on what is eating at you and challenge these ideas, these roadblocks that say you can't do whatever because of your age. And you said you're almost 40. Didn't you just tell me you turned 36?
That's like back in September, 4 years, four months ago.
Oh, well, now you're so much closer to 40. You know what this reminds me of? I don't know if you've ever seen the American movie When Harry Met Sally, but there's this one point where Meg Ryan says, "And I'm going to be 40. And he says, "When?" And she says, "Someday." Like, you have just under 4 years. A lot can happen in 4 years. 4 years ago, you first came to America. So these are ideas.
And I'm pretty fast too.
These are ideas. You want to challenge those ideas, not give in to them, give up, and then use food to comfort and distract yourself from what's really bothering you.
Also, thank you so much, Dr. Nina. Also, I recently noticed, like, clearly, like, working with you for such a long time, and this work, your work always, like, shows itself, opens up from different angles. So recently, I think I shed off some layers. So now I could clearly see, without being, like, terrified and avoiding it, I see a lot of fear. I see tons and tons of fear. Like, one of my friends, she sent me my old college picture, which was taken, I don't know, back in 2003, so 16 years ago. And I thought of myself that I was brave, but I looked at this picture and I saw myself scared. Like, you know, like this, I have PTSD too. I was bitten as a kid. That's why I'm kind of hypervigilant all the time. But like, I guess it also affects my thinking, you know, as much as I physically wait for the blow to my body, to hurt my body when I was a kid.
Carly Gash, what happens is then we expect the past to repeat in the present. The problem is not about talking about what happened in the past. You can talk about what happened in the past for 100 years, it doesn't do anything. You have to accept, maybe you heal and you mourn and you come to some resolution in a way, but it's recognizing how the past is in your present that makes the difference. So recognizing that if you were beaten as a child and you were beaten down and no one believed in you, How are you beating yourself down in the present? How are you not believing in yourself? How are you expecting other people to treat you the way you were treated? And when you can recognize this and really kind of unpack it and take each piece and saying that you ate too many cakes, you'll be calling and saying, guess what? I realized that fear got a grip on me, and that was fear of the past in the present. So Carly Gash, I gotta jump off this call because I have another person behind you, but I want you to think about one step that you can do from a practical standpoint to take towards having the job, the career that you want, just one step without the naysaying, I can't. And what is the antidote to fear, which is
what is reality, and check if the fear is justified or not.
False evidence appearing real. So the way you deal with fear is to, which is what if, is to stay with what is, what you know to be true. Do that. Let us know how it goes, and I look forward to hearing your update.
Okay, thank you so much for your help.
You're welcome.
A hug.
I feel it. Thanks, Carly Gash. Right back at you. Hug, hug, hug. All right. Bye for now.
Thank you.
And hello, caller. You're on with Dr. Nina. Hello? Hello? Hi, caller. You're on with Dr. Nina. I can't really hear you, though. No, I can't hear you. Your voice is very mechanical.
Oh, hello?
Oh, that's better.
Yes. Okay, hi. How are you? This is Josh from Instagram.
Hi, Josh. How's from Instagram. You, welcome to the show. Nice to hear your voice.
Thanks. Yeah, nice to hear your voice, too. I was just calling because last night I was hungry. I already kind of ate, you know, as much as I was going to eat that day. And it happens, you know, from time to time, I will want more food towards the end of the night, especially if I'm thinking of deep things or, you know, on the edge of being emotional or whatever.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Your voice is just a little like muddy or something. Maybe are you really close to your, are you on, were you on speaker or something? Maybe.
No, is it better now or no?
Not, it's still a little bad. It's still like it's like slightly out of focus. Like if your voice was a picture, it would be out of focus, if that makes sense.
Okay.
That's better.
Yeah. That's better?
That's okay. A little better. Yeah.
A little better. Okay. Yeah. Do you want to do it or not? Should I keep going or?
Keep. Ronan, do you have any suggestions? Ronan, any suggestions for how we can make Josh's voice a little bit clearer? He's typing. He's not sure. Okay. We'll just keep going. We'll keep going.
All right. Well, okay. So basically, I was feeling as though I tried to basically imagine that something was eating at me. In other words, for this hunger to be there, which was sort of out of place. Does that make sense?
So what you're saying is that even though you had enough to eat, you were still hungry. Do I have that?
Yes.
Right. Okay. So
yes, that's right.
So here's the amazing thing about our minds. Our minds are so cool that we also have a mind-body connection. So sometimes hunger is the physical manifestation of a state of yearning, and you can be not physically hungry, but feel physical hunger as a replacement for some kind of emotional yearning or wish. And I know that you wrote earlier on the Instagram feed something about love, and I wonder if that resonates with you.
Yes. So what I was looking for, once I started imagining that, okay, let's just, because it's, in the moment, it seems crazy to me, at least, that, you know, from what I understand about the unconscious, that something would be eating at me. So I did really try hard to say, okay, something is eating at me. And eventually what I got to was that I was trying to look for love, and food was unconsciously there. And it was physically making me hungry, like you just said, which is just, it's really amazing when those things happen. And so I wanted to thank you, because what I was able to do is eventually I was able to say, okay, I'm not hungry anymore, because at least I shined a light on what it was that was really going on. It was not physical hunger, like you just said. It was emotional hunger, if you will, and I did not eat, and I didn't need to eat, and that actually opened up to be kind of an expansive. I do a lot of meditation. I'm not really overweight, so I don't really have a problem with food necessarily. But you can clearly see that there's something going on, nevertheless. And by the end of the night, it opened up really nicely, where I was able to kind of what I would consider do a little bit more deep work on myself, because I kind of I do a podcast on meditation, and some things that are sort of deeper subjects. And so I do a lot of work on myself, but the fact that it was tied to food was something I would have never figured out unless I had heard you mention it.
I'm so glad to hear this, because like once you have information, you can use it. And I just want to acknowledge you for asking yourself the hard question to be curious. Now, I often say be curious, not critical, right? I'm sure you've heard me say it 1,000 times. Maybe I slightly,
yes.
Maybe a little bit less than 1,000 times. But so critical would be why, which is not what you did, which would be, well, why am I hungry? I just had dinner. What's wrong with me? I can't be hungry. This makes no sense. That's critical. Curious is, I just had dinner. Why am I still hungry? What's going on with me? Okay, doesn't make sense that I'd be physically hungry given my dinner. Maybe it's emotional. And that set you off on asking yourself questions. When you ask yourself questions, you're more likely to find the answers. Because it's really that which is the root. And the root creates the weed, and the weed represents the behavior.
Yes. And what's so amazing to me, there was a previous time when I was hungry for no reason, and I tried working on it. It's very difficult for me to do this, I guess. I imagine it's not like a snap of the finger to someone who's never done it. But I didn't happen the first time. And what happened the first time was I started digging a little bit, and it just sort of went away, and I kind of was like, I didn't really see the goal. I didn't really see that I was really looking for love, the first time. So it's actually taken two times for me to get to the root of what was, what the hunger, the physical sensation of hunger was.
Yeah.
And which is and actually, yeah.
Two times, how why would you expect yourself to know it instantly? It does take time. It does, and sometimes people ask themselves the question and they don't find the answer. That's why I developed my food mood formula that I talk about in my book. But the fact that you were able to persist and to stay curious, what's this about, led you to realize that you were hungry for love, hungry for something. Yes.
And the best way I can say love is I was just hungry for not food, not physical food that I would put in my stomach that would alleviate the feeling of hunger. It was, I needed something else that was emotional, that I basically rectified the situation by just being with myself for a little bit. But it sounds easy, but it wasn't easy, I would say. What's so amazing is it's completely unconscious. I had no idea that there was something else other. I figured I was actually hungry, literally hungry, because there was no other mental aspect of it. My stomach was like literally growling. I needed food, and it was not hunger. It was emotional.
It is astounding to many people that there are unconscious motivations that are actually much stronger than what we consciously know. It's not logical, it's psychological. And it's discovering those motivations that are hidden from us, where they're in the dark. My work is all about helping people bring them into the light. Because once you see that, then you can deal with it. But one way that I have of putting it is, you can't fight an invisible army, you just get beaten up. But when you make that army visible, then you see what you're fighting, then you can fight back. And just like the Carly Gash was talking about cakes, but ended up the real problem was her lack of satisfaction in her job. You're talking about food, but as you came to realize, the real problem was some emptiness within, some yearning within.
Yes, and I just want to say that actually when I was calling in, I called a couple of times, there was no answer, and then I kind of just gave up, and then I got a text saying that they would call me, which is really nice, actually. It's nice that you guys do that, but I felt it again, so just in calling. So the unconscious was still kind of there. It was like telling me, oh, you're calling a psychoanalyst to talk about this? Well, here it is again, in a sense. Here is that same feeling of hope. It's amazing. It has occurred to me as I was calling into the show for no reason, because I just actually had the freedom to eat, that the system that that is. I'm never going to fall for that again. That's three times now that is with physical hunger that got transformed into a completely different universe of longing and emotional stuff that has nothing to do with the fact that, oh, you know, I haven't eaten enough. And nothing to do with that. Amazing.
And I love your enthusiasm as you realize, hey, something is going on. This is why I call myself a detective of the mind, because we're looking for clues. And when you see the clue and you go, whoa, there is another clue. There it is again. Wow. It is exciting. It is. And it's exciting because you realize that you now understand something about yourself that you didn't, that you were focusing on food or focusing on whatever it was instead of this. And now you can deal with this. And it is, you know, you're obviously doing a great job of being self-reflective and staying open, and good for you.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's so hidden and so unbelievable that you could almost think if I didn't explain it to you on the show, someone would think I was crazy. You know what I mean? Because it's not even connected to any reality. It's like, and for anyone listening who either is very well versed in this, or who is, you know, has never like experienced that before, I say that it's not so easy to come to the realization that what you're doing is you're looking for love in food, and your body doesn't know it. You don't know it anyway. But
Yeah, and why food, by the way? Because our very first experience of being fed is being fed by another person. Our very first experience of relationship, of bonding, of being held and feeling safe and secure in someone's arms is bound up with the experience of being fed. And so in our psyche, we don't consciously think of it this way. Food is relationship. We talk about food as comfort, but really we're saying it's a wish to be comforted by someone else. And so I love your enthusiasm, and I'm glad that you called to share this and that you had this experience. And may you continue to be curious about what's going on within you and come to a deeper understanding of yourself.
Yeah, and I've been meaning to call in because I've been on Instagram making comments and asking questions and things, but I just knew that I needed to talk to you today. With everything going on in the news, I just thought, you know what, it would be nice to have an actual conversation, you know, with the Washington, D.C., which is so far removed from my life, but it still was, I thought, unconsciously there, affecting me negatively to think of these men who took it upon themselves to try to take over our country for a moment or whatever was in their mind. It was quite disturbing to think of that mentality, that someone would do that. But I don't think it had anything necessarily to do with my eating. But you never know. Maybe it did. So.
But wait. I mean, because it's also about feeling helpless with an intrusion, feeling helpless as all you could do is watch as people decide for themselves how they want, how things are supposed to be, the atmosphere of violence. You know, that maybe I don't know anything about your situation, but for a lot of people, watching this activated their own experiences of, say, an unpredictable parent or unpredictable world or something that even someone had been in a car accident, and she said just this re-traumatized her because it was so unexpected, just like the car accident. She found herself eating. Well, it was really because her trauma had been reactivated. So sometimes it's not the actual thing that's happening. It's how that impacts you and how that touches a place within you. And it does for a lot of people.
Yes, and I just want to say that this is a deep wound, and I think that it does bring up things from the past, from childhood, from parents. If your parents were ever cruel to you, looking at these men doing this might bring up that scene. I think
exactly.
It's not so far-fetched. Yeah.
And
you know what? Yeah, yes. And I bet you it did have something to do with why I'm calling you today. Because I needed to talk to you probably in some way, just to feel safe again. I don't know. You're such a good force, because it's not just that you're an analyst, because I'm familiar with analysts. It's that you're an analyst on the radio where someone like me can just call in. And, I don't mean to, like, embarrass you, but the fact that you're talking about food, which everyone is involved with, if you will, is amazing, because it actually provides an opportunity to talk about deeper things that's really just... we're talking about food, but everything is in that. Everything is in food. It's not like you have to be overweight, I feel like. Maybe you could comment on that. I don't know.
Thank you for bringing that up. And not everybody who struggles with food, and not everybody who even with binge eating disorder is overweight. You cannot tell whether someone has an eating disorder by their weight. It's internal. And it's not something that is tied to weight. Lots of people are overweight and they don't struggle with food. They're just making bad choices, or they're genetically where they are, whatever. But a lot of people struggle very much with food, and they're not real. And it if you pardon the expression, consumes them. So, Josh, I'm so glad that you took the plunge and you tried again to call. I hope that you will call me again and bring up some of the things that are eating at you, and we can talk about that.
Yes, it was a pleasure to talk to you, Dr. Nina. Thank you very much.
I hope it is not the last time. Thank you for calling, Josh. Take care.
No, I'll see you on Instagram. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Okay. Bye. Yeah, that's that. I love that he asked himself the question of why am I hungry? Not from a place of actual physical hunger, but from a place of what's going on with me. I'll just share really briefly the connection which I've had, and that is that when I first started. So to be an analyst, you have to be in analysis. You've got to go to analysis. You've got to go do the whole academic part of training, but you also have to be in analysis. And so I went to my analyst 4 times a week, and I knew that she was like a warm, kind, even loving person, but I sometimes would experience her as rather cold, and found me difficult and thought I was challenging. By the way, that would be my mother. And I also thought that she was 5, 6 and a half. This is so funny. So as I generally began realizing, oh no, she's not my mother. She's not my mother. Like, I logically knew she was not my mother, but I experienced her as if she was my mother. And keep in mind, 4 days a week, she would open the door. I would walk past her, take my seat on the couch, and she would sit. And I literally walked past her. I am 5'7". I usually wear heels. And I experienced her as like my height. And one day I go in and I look at her and she suddenly looks so much smaller to me. And I said, "How? You just seem like you've shrunk. You just seem like overnight you've just shrunk. You just seem smaller." And she said, "Well, how tall do you think I am?" And I said, "Well, 5'6" and a half," which of course it will come as no surprise to you that that is the exact height of my mother, 5'6" and a half. And she started laughing and she tells me she's 5'1". She is 5'1". And even in heels, she's like 5'3". And I experience her as literally my height. And I'm probably 6 feet tall wearing heels. And even though I literally passed her, that is the power of our minds. I made her my same height because my mother and I are the same height. And as she became less, as my maternal transference diminished, she became more who she actually is. So that is the power of the mind. I mean, it's crazy, right? But in a not in a bad way crazy, as in not in a pejorative crazy, as in a, wow, our minds are freaking powerful. But when we understand what's going on, we can really change the way we think, change the way we feel, and change what we do with behavior. So I want to get back to the question that I had from Nicole at the very beginning. She said, if you're allowed to have dessert so you don't feel that sense of deprivation that leads to binge eating, how can you determine when it's okay to have dessert and when you're using it to comfort or self-soothe? Well, this is a great question, Nicole. First of all, the first part of her question has to do with my suggestion that the anticipation of deprivation or the experience of deprivation only makes you want something more. So if you tell yourself, like, you can't have dessert, what's going to happen? When you finally have dessert, you're going to have a ton of desserts. You're going to binge on dessert. Or you're going to have more than you would have if you just allow yourself to have dessert. If you say, hey, I can have dessert, then you can choose to have it or not. You can choose how much of it you want or not. Because otherwise you get into the position of, oh, I'm not supposed to be eating this, so I'm going to eat all of it now because I'm not going to be able to have it later. Okay, so she's saying, how do you determine when it's okay to have dessert and when you're using it for comfort? Well, the answer to that is it's always okay to have dessert. Have dessert. There's nothing wrong with dessert. However, if you are using dessert or something sweet or chocolate or whatever to change the way you emotionally feel, if you're using it to feel better as opposed to, oh, that sounds really good, I'm going to have dessert after my meal, a cup of coffee or tea and dessert sounds good, yum. That is one thing. But when it's, I got to have that dessert so I feel better, I want some comfort, I want to feel better emotionally, then that would be emotional eating. That would be self-soothing through dessert. And if that is the case, then instead of soothing with dessert, you want to soothe with words. You want to have compassion with yourself with words. And that means talking to yourself as you would talk to anybody you love, right? We often talk one way to ourselves and another way to other people. So if your friend or your loved one said, oh my God, I totally want dessert, or I ate dessert or whatever because I totally did it because it was emotional eating, would you say, oh my God, you suck, that's terrible, you should never do that again? You'd say, oh, hey, it's okay, you know, it happened. So what was going on? What was bothering you? So the next time you reach for dessert, Nicole, and anyone else who can relate to Nicole's question, ask yourself, are you eating this because it is a yummy thing to have post-dinner, or are you eating it because you want to feel better emotionally in some way? And if it is the latter, ask yourself what you would say to someone else to make them feel better. You would not say, hey, you want to feel better? You feel bad? I hope you would not say this. You wouldn't say, eat this dessert. You might say, what's going on? I'm here for you. Talk to me. What's happening? So talk to yourself as you would a friend instead of turning to dessert as a way of comforting yourself. And practice makes progress. You will get better at it and better at it. And actually next week, I'm going to be sharing some ways to cultivate more self-compassion. Josh, I really enjoyed talking to you as well. Jenny, nice to see you. I'm glad that you liked Josh's call. Thank you, everybody, for being here today. Sorry for the technical issues. If you were on Instagram before we officially started, we had some technical issues. So you guys got a chance to see how hard Ronan works to make this show actually happen. So again, thank you all for joining me here today on the Dr. Nina Show. I am here live Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Pacific here on the Dr. Nina, here on LA Talk Radio, and also on Instagram, or you can listen later on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you get your podcasts. If you are interested in joining my free Facebook community, just go to Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community, ask to join, and you can join a group of hundreds of, I think we're up to 700, something like that, of women and men, there are guys there too, who all get it and are there to support themselves and each other. Have a great day, everyone. Have a great week. I'll see you next week. Stay safe. Bye for now.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.